the most entertaining talk anywhere. Stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station. Your 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
You dress as Santa Claus and spend all day with sticky, screeching children squirming atop your lap. Do you do it for the extra cash or because you secretly enjoy it?
How about a background check?
You, Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee, man the free ear-piercing kiosk. You pull the trigger on that piercing gun, proving you're not afraid to get a little holiday blood on your hand.
Ow! I hope that thing was sterile.
Because donning a rent-a-cop uniform and dozing in your patrol car instead of protecting patrons in the parking lot means you've got what it takes to be Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
Wake up, I'm getting mugged.
So the next time you're stuck in the food court because some holiday halfwit can't locate the cash register's hold the pickles button, raise your finger in salute to Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee, a real American hero.
Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
Minimum wage, no health benefits either.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
Good morning and welcome to Monday. It's November 23rd.
Good morning, Samuel.
Good morning, Sherry.
How are you?
You had a long weekend.
I did.
How lucky can you get, you see?
Extremely lucky.
You got the dream fucking job.
Not this week, I don't.
No?
No,
why?
I don't work like the whole entire week.
Oh, my God. What's going to happen?
I'm going to spend a lot
can
of money.
You handle it?
No, because, you know, I usually have off Monday through Wednesday of my restaurant, and then Thursday we're closed for Thanksgiving.
Right.
Sunday I had to give away because it's a good friend's birthday, so I only work in the restaurant Friday and Saturday, and it's rent time.
Oh, my God.
Not very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your social life is getting in the way.
No, I have no social life. My social life involves Skype. Good morning. I already said that, but I want to say it again.
Yes.
Yes.
And you brought coffee with you, venti today?
A venti today.
Yes.
A five-shotter.
That's a big fucking cup.
I did five shots this morning because I think we're going to have a fun show.
So you got to stay on your toes.
I'm really excited.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we are expecting to see more butts here with who is also Adam Glasser.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to reach him last week, and we couldn't by phone because he was signing books. In fact, you know what they told me is at the time when he was supposed to be on the phone with us,
uh-huh.
he was on another radio show here locally.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So
he chose someone else over us?
Exactly.
That's fucked up.
No, I'm sure
I'm
that
kidding.
Was already...
I'm just joking.
Listen, if he's in the studio, he'd rather be there than be on
the
phone.
Yeah, but
I'm
no,
sure.
It worked out for us because now we're going to get him here.
Yeah, exactly.
I have like...
Exactly.
I've always wanted to ask a million questions before.
Really?
Yes. So you just wait for the question. I'm going to ask.
Good.
My aunt wrote me this morning and she was like, looks like you're excited for today's show. I said, yeah, it might not be the one you want to tune into
yeah.
today. I'm excited though.
Yeah, so I love the name Seymour Butts.
But, you know, last
so we'll
week
we'll find out how he came up with that name.
And, you okay, know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, last week I heard the name and I was just thinking Butts, but I didn't realize that it was Seymour Butts. Uh-huh. I didn't put it all together.
You did.
Until last
Took
night.
You a while.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Not the brightest bulb with the chandelier.
Okay. I wouldn't say that, but quick. Maybe not so quick. Let's not say I'm dumb. Sometimes things go over my heads, so I've got several heads. Caffeine's kicking in right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, there you go.
why does Christmas music seem to come earlier and earlier every year?
It does. It does.
I remember when it used to be like after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I started hearing it like around Halloween time, and I was like, okay, that's just one station. But now it's nonstop. It's like, I want to be excited for Turkey Day,
yeah,
and then let that happen, and then we can ease on into the Christmas and Hanukkah world.
Okay.
You know?
Well, we'll put in a request
Thank
just
you.
For you.
I appreciate that. You're such a shit.
The quest to change the world and make it comply to Sherry's vision.
God, you're really picking up on
this. I know.
I need lots of personal assistance to get when I need done. Oh, you know, another cool thing? Remember how I said last week that Oprah was moving her show to her own network?
Right.
She's not even doing that.
Right.
She's retiring completely.
She decided to not do it.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so?
So? That means I don't have to compete with her. It made my life even
That's
better.
That's true. The main competition is out of the
out
way
Out of the
now.
Way.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. There and you know what's really funny is that people that I hadn't even spoken to in a while, like people were starting to write me. Uh-huh. Like when they heard, they were like, she's retiring. Did you see? I'm like, yeah, I got it. But it's just funny that people thought about me.
Well, you make it known enough.
Well, yeah, you got to put it out there.
Yeah, you really do.
The only problem is that if I don't do it, I look like a big loser. I'm like, 2011.
I know,
I'm
you're
still
setting
waiting
yourself
tables.
Up, so be careful.
No, it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it must be the universe, setting up the field for
conspiring
you.
Conspiring for me.
There you go.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I am it. I'm one with the universe. And one with crazy. Crazy and I are like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very close. I'm just like one step away
from you feel you're on the verge.
Some days.
So, walk in the line. Huh?
Well, when I walk by myself and I talk to myself in the mirror at home, I'm like, crazy. I'm like one step away from being in a straitjacket.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's all right. I was going to ask if you watched the American Music Awards, but I know.
I actually caught part of it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because I didn't.
Thought, really?
Wow, you did pop culture. I just read up about that.
Yeah, you're right. Well, by that time, I had done everything I wanted to do that day, which is
read
myself to death.
How many books did you read?
So, you got to remember, I'm reading that Stephen King 1,000-page book.
How far are you into that?
About 300 pages or something.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm also reading two other books.
Oh, well. You need to slow down.
But at any rate, so by that time I was absolutely like done with everything.
Yeah.
So I turned on the TV and I caught that. And it's funny because in the back of my mind I thought, I wonder if there's like an award show or something tonight.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And then I know. So then I turned it on and
manifested it. It was never really supposed to be on.
Exactly. So, you know, as usual, it's not like the Oscars or anything, you know, you don't have a host, you know, it just, different acts come up on the stage. So the first one I turned on was Carrie Underwood.
Uh-huh.
Now she looks fucking hot as hell. Okay, now didn't she used to be chubby and stuff like that?
I mean, she was chubbier, yeah.
Right, right.
But she's been like this for a little while now, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
I haven't really followed her career,
right.
But she looks smoking. I mean, let me tell you.
Yeah. I didn't see her last night, so I don't know what she looked like, but I mean, she's looked good for a while now.
Yeah?
Yeah. And she's an amazing singer.
Yeah, and what she was wearing and the angles of the camera, it's like right on her crotch, you know? You couldn't miss it.
You can write them later and thank them.
They know what they're doing.
What was she wearing, though? Was she wearing a dress?
No, it was like shorts, really short shorts, gold, you know, like shiny gold.
Uh-huh.
And but they were like really neat, you know. I mean, usually I don't pay attention to that.
Uh-huh.
But
with the crotch shots, it was hard to miss that.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
So even a camel toe.
Yeah. So did you even remember her performance?
Yeah, actually, it was pretty good. It was a powerful performance, I thought. You know,
mm-hmm, powerful.
Yeah.
You didn't even.
Pretty strong song. No, they were dancing. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
It was a
And I think she
song.
Was really singing, too.
Yeah,
you know,
she usually
does. Some people,
yeah, she usually
like
does.
Lady Gaga, she wasn't really singing.
Well, her, she's all about like the spectacle in the show.
Yeah, exactly.
So, did
and
you
she
the,
gave one. I mean, she gave a real
good,
good show.
She gave a good
show. Yeah. She gave a real good show.
Did you watch like to the end? Like, did you see like, I guess, J-Lo fell down during her performance?
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. No, I started watching J-Lo and then I sort of like left the room.
Oh, it was like really quick, I guess. I mean, I saw it on the recap this morning on video and I listened to her on Ryan Seacrest this morning.
Yeah.
And yeah, she was just like climbing up on top of people's backs and she just like jumped off and she fell right on her ass.
Really?
And it was almost like her ass like a what do you call it? A trampoline.
Yeah.
Because she seriously fell on it and bounced right back up. It was really funny.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, I mean, what occurred to me when she came on the stage is she does not want to wear shorts, okay? Her legs did not look like they should be in shorts.
Really?
Not on TV at any rate.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm definitely not for like skinny chicks and stuff like that. You know, I like a little bit of meat and stuff. But as far as performance, the way it looks, you know, it just, yeah, she didn't look great, you know,
yeah.
And the big ass and everything, you know?
Yeah, but you're not a big ass kind of guy. You're not black.
I can appreciate a nice round ass.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, did you used to think J-Lo's ass was hot?
Yeah, I guess at one point.
At one point, okay. Well, she just had babies, too.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's what
know?
I was thinking.
But you're right, though. I mean, you know, I mean, I didn't see her, but if she didn't look good in her shorts, they probably should have put in something else.
Yeah, and especially coming after, like, Lady Gaga and stuff, you know, who's got a great body and everything, you know.
Really? You notice Lady Gaga's body behind all the clothes? I mean, behind all that weirdness?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She wore, like, a tight outfit this time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're like, you know how they have a black whatever,
yeah,
like
the worst dress
or whatever. You have like your own fashion thing here.
Yeah,
this was
I never
tight,
thought
this
I was
this short
that.
Short. Like every girl's great angle, great ass. Like you just like give your whole like critique.
That's true. I did get into it, didn't I?
These outfits of these ladies. Did you see the end with Adam Lambert?
No,
you know
Adam but
Lambert
I saw
is?
A picture of him French kissing a guy.
Yeah, I guess like he kissed a guy, like girl. He was just like very like sexual and like very S&M, they said.
Yeah.
And so some people are like disgusted by it. Others are like, wow, great. You know, he's like so different than his American Idol, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called.
Look.
Yes. His image. Yeah. And I really like Adam Lambert, so I'm upset. I wanted to TiVo it, but I didn't realize the awards were on, so I was already like at work. Like, shit.
You know, I don't even know what he looks like because I never really watched...
I know.
That American Idol.
Yeah.
I think I only watched the first couple seasons, and then what I like the best is the auditions. You know, that's like the funniest part.
Yeah, but I got sick of those after a while because I really like talent shows. I mean, like I like to see people that are really talented, and after a while it was just like, okay, they're just bringing these people in just to be funny.
Yeah.
You know, like let's put the worst people in and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I mean, some of them are really funny.
But it is entertaining.
Yeah, I don't know. It's totally entertaining. But I like when we get to like the meat of it, and you know, they start singing and. Because I get really excited by that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Whatever excites you, you know? You don't need much, I guess.
No, not really. Not really. I got, this weekend at work, I got the most amazing tips.
Really?
Yes. Well, first, and then I got some really bad tips. Okay, I have to say this. If you go to a restaurant and you're a shitty tipper, please don't tell your waiter how great they are.
Yeah. Because then you bring up their expectations? Is that
what
it is?
Well, yeah. I mean, I literally had like two tables back to back. Both of their checks were $350 each table.
Uh-huh.
Was $350. The first guy leaves me. It's funny. He gives me part cash and part credit card, and he hands over the cash, and he's like, this is for you, and then put the rest on the credit card. And I said, okay, $350. I go to the computer, and I count the cash, and there's $140 in cash. And I was like, okay, there's no way he's leaving me $140 on $350, you know?
Yeah.
So I go back to him, and I said, did you want me to deduct the cash from the check? And then he was like, no, that's yours. And I was like a babbling idiot. I was like, oh, that's mine? He was like, yeah, and I was like, I thought you said that. I was like, but that's really, really generous of you. And he was like, you did a really great job. And I was like, thanks. Okay, next table.
Mm-hmm.
$350 check. And like, and I'm taking pictures of them and their friends, and some of them are Asian. I'm taking pictures of them and their food because they like to take pictures of food for some reason, Asian people. And the guy's like, thanks so much for making our experience great. I'm like, you're welcome. I go and look at their $350 check. $40.
$40.
On $350.
Right.
Yes. Don't tell me how great I am, and then you're going to go and leave me like not even 15%.
Mm.
Like, it was ridiculous. And that's just showing, like, if one person leaves me $140, which then is great, but then it all balances out. And so that huge tip that I got is now, like, suffered because some stupid cheapo.
Right.
You know, it just pisses me off.
But look at it in the positive light.
I did.
You know?
I did. Yeah. I said, I made $140
off. If you hadn't made that $140, then...
Then I really would have been screwed. Yeah. But I just mean, don't build up my expectations. Don't tell me how great I am and then not make me bad tip. Those lip tips. Telling you, they're all verbal tips. Once they say that, they think you don't need any money.
Yeah.
Well, we made her feel good about herself.
Yeah. Listen, but I still think that servers, okay, like you call them...
Oh, here we go again. Can't tell me how we don't.
Shouldn't expect
tips. Yeah, shouldn't expect... You're not going to get into this.
No, at this point, not shouldn't expect tips, but let's say not the exact amounts, you know. I mean, some people tip differently, you know. Not everybody's the same. You got to sort of accept it, you know.
Well, I don't expect everybody to leave me giant tips, nor do I expect everybody to leave me 20%. Well, in my mind, I believe that I deserve 20% because I make your experience great.
Right.
But I won't get mad if you leave me 15%. But if you leave me under 15%, which the standard tells you that poor service is under 15%, so you're telling me something. Like, that is not just some random thing. Like, that is what the status quo here is in this country, is that, and it's actually been raised where 20% is normal service. And I still don't even expect that. I know we're moving up with the times, but...
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. You know, when I go out to dinner, why should I be bothered with the server's income, you know? I mean, what the fuck, you know? I'm not your boss. I just want to eat, you know?
I understand, but that's just the way it is here, so just don't go out then. Why should I suffer?
Don't go out.
Don't go out to eat.
You're not suffering. You're still getting paid for your time there.
Minimum wage.
Okay, plus whatever tip I leave you, you know? I mean, it doesn't have to be 15% or 20%. It's not... You know?
Do you realize that I still have to tip out like 8,000 other people, and so then I end up making nothing because I've got to give the busboy the money, okay. I've got to give the bartender the money, I've got to give the food runner the money, and I've got to give the host the money.
Okay, so I can ask you this. So if you don't like the pay, why do you work in that industry?
I'm fine with the pay. You're the one.
No. I mean, you tell me minimum wage. Well, that's what they pay.
Well, and then I accept the minimum wage because I know that I'm getting tipped out. Right. And there's a certain percentage that you're expecting. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Expecting. You know?
Because,
that's the thing.
Because that's what is understood in this country. That's what it is. How could you fight me on that? We even have little cards that says. Okay, we're going to get out of this. Let's have someone not pay you for your job.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, the thing is that, you know, I'm a tipper. You know, I leave usually 20 or more percent. Mm-hmm. But I just have a problem with the expectations, I guess, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, so how was your weekend anyway? Did you do anything exciting?
I worked, and then it was my friend's birthday, one of my best friend's birthday, so we kind of just ran around the city a little bit and stuff and just did silly stuff.
Like?
Target.
You went to Target?
No, we went out to lunch, and he likes to do like little random road trips and stuff. So I didn't go with him this day because, you know, I had to work. But they like did like thrift store shopping and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But we like played games at his house. Like, we all got together and we play like Pictionary and Uno and have like drink and stuff like that and make food. And it was really fun. It's just like a good time to get together with your friends, you know?
Yeah, that's
but it was
nice.
Very funny because we all realized how old we're getting because he turned 35 as well. Uh-huh. By like 8 o'clock, everyone looked at each other and everyone was ready for bed. He was like, I'm exhausted. I need a nap. Well, I'm the only one that went home in between because we started earlier in the day and I live like a mile. I'm like, I'm going to go home and nap. It's like 2 p.m. I'm like,
it's the middle of the party.
Well, we had lunch, then we drank at lunch, you know, had some cocktails, and then it was like, we got back to his house, and I'm like, I think I need a nap. Yeah. I was like, if you want me to hang out through the night, I got to go home. So I slept for a couple of hours and then went back. I'm like, I'm a little old lady. So I went home and napped, and then when I got back, that's why, like, by 7, 8 o'clock, they were like, well, we're done. I'm like, done.
Right.
I just napped. I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go, yeah.
Yeah, so then I went and met up with an old flame.
Mm-hmm.
Which I wasn't meeting up with the old flame to reignite anything. Right. It was just like we were kind of cool. Like, I had fun with them when we used to hang out. Didn't turn out to be such a fun night.
No,
guy got a little aggressive with me.
Really?
Yeah, and so I ended up leaving and took a cab home because I just walked out of the
place. Wow.
Yeah.
What do you mean aggressive? What happened?
I guess he just assumed because, you know, we have been intimate in the past that it was going to be like that, even though I told him when we were hanging out, like, because he was like, why don't you come to my house? And I was like, no. You know, and yeah. So we just kind of,
no,
I haven't seen you in such a long time. Like, let's hang out and have a conversation like we used to do, you know? And so I thought that was kind of understood, but, you know, I guess I'm a little ignorant on that part.
So he was thinking booty call. And
thinking and I was thinking like, yeah, because we used to like talk beyond just, you know, having, you know, sex and stuff. We used to laugh and, you know, just have good times and good conversation and stuff. So I was thinking that's what we were going to do.
Yeah.
And,
so it kind of makes you feel used, right? I mean,
and then I just deleted him on my phone. I'm like, well, there's a reason why that didn't work out in the past anyway. Yeah. You know, when you learn, and I'm just like, okay, that was stupid.
Yeah.
But when I mean aggressive, I mean, you know, hand on the knee, like, oh, laugh, that's fine, and stuff like that. And then trying to, like, you know, rub the neck. And I was like, you know, like squirming
a
little bit.
Where were you, at a bar or something?
Yeah. So I was just at my friend's, like, having a drink. And then I, like, sobered up before I went anywhere because I didn't want to. So we grabbed, like, some food. But we were just, like, sitting there, just, like, conversing at a bar and stuff. And then, you know, hand on the neck and touching the shoulder and stuff. And me kind of just being like, you know, not being rude and taking his hands off me, but, like, squirming, being like, stop, you know.
But you weren't comfortable with it, huh?
No, I didn't want, that's not what I was there for, you know.
Yeah.
And we just, like, continued to drink, and then, like, when I went to the bathroom, we, like, smacked my ass, and then I came back, and I was like, really? Really? Is this what we're doing here? And so then, of course, he just started, like, talking, like, oh, come on, and just saying certain things that, you know, maybe we had done in the past, and thinking that I'd be into that again. And I said, if this is what it's about, I'm just going to go home. I was like, I thought you actually wanted to talk. He was like, I do. And so he stopped being that way, and then after another drink, he tried taking my face and kissing me, and I was like, okay, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But he had given me a ride, so I just took a cab home.
Yeah.
I was like, good ending of the night.
Yeah.
I love men. I love men. So that's how that night ended. But it's okay. No, it's okay though. Like I handled myself well, and normally I was in the past.
Did it get you down? I mean, were you like irritated?
No, I just think sometimes people. No, I actually felt good about myself because in the past I would have maybe have given into that or been like, because it would have made me feel like, oh, he wants me back, even though back then he didn't. You know what I mean? It would have done something for my self-esteem before.
Yeah.
Whereas now I didn't even take it that way. I just thought what an idiot he was. You know what I mean? Like, and no, it didn't get me mad. I just went and talked to a friend throughout the night on Skype.
Yeah. Just talk?
Just.
No. Video too.
You're so silly. But yeah. So I think that was pretty much my weekend, working and going out, and I think that was about it, kind of relaxing and stuff.
Yeah,
did you do
that's
anything
cool.
fun?
We tried to anyway.
What does that mean?
At least we decided to go to Palm Springs, right?
Oh,
so we
okay.
get a hotel, and we get there, and you know, I'm just gonna make this a really short story.
I'm intrigued now.
We get there and. You know, we go into the hotel and stuff, and you know, it looked great on Expedia and stuff. You know?
Oh no!
So,
oh no!
So first of all, you know, we get to the downtown Palm Springs, and I realize, you know, if this thing is like downtown, it's not the resort that I was picturing, you know, because there's just not enough room there for something like that. You know, it would just probably
palm trees
be a regular hotel, right?
Uh-huh.
So we walk in, and they send us to the room and stuff, and so it's like this long way to the room, and we get there, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, there's nothing to this room. I mean, there's no balcony, there's no barely any windows. It's just like a little
cell prison.
Something like that. All you have is the bed and a chair. I mean, you know, usually in hotels you have a little desk and stuff where you can put your laptop and things like that.
This is my five-star Samuel. Okay.
This thing was 4 stars, Sherry. Okay.
Shut up. Seriously?
Yeah.
Who rated it?
You see, that's
homeless
the thing,
people?
Though, is you have to understand something about rating, is that it takes into account a lot of different things. So it's not just about the hotel being, like, modern or classy or whatever, but it's also the location.
Right.
So, you see, this is considered, like, a good location because you walk half a block
and
you're
there.
Downtown Palm Springs, you know? So, but I'm just, like, I'm looking at this and, like, I almost faint. And I got angry, you know?
He got angry.
And told my wife, I said, I don't believe they're giving me this kind of room.
Uh-huh. And how was she? Oh, is she fine with it?
Yeah, I guess. You know, I mean, she just doesn't behave like I do, you know?
Who does?
I don't deal with culture shock, you know?
Are you comparing a room, a hotel room, to culture shock?
It is, because I'm used to, like, nice hotels.
Okay, so what'd you do? I got to hear this.
So So I picked up all the bags, headed back.
You throw them out the window, but there was no window.
Didn't say a
word.
Okay. Got out of there, went through the lobby, didn't acknowledge anybody, just walked out.
Seriously?
You know? Yeah, so then my wife had to deal with it. And I felt bad for her, but I was irritated.
Yeah. I could still picture that. I need a movie. You need a movie. Yeah. You need to have a movie.
But you know what? I got to tell you, it's like when we were at the reception, we asked her, do you have a room with a balcony?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yeah, but that would be extra money. And we asked how much, you know, and it seemed like too much.
Yeah.
She said, never mind, you know, so we were stuck with that room.
Right.
So then after I left and my wife told him I didn't want to stay there and everything, I already called the valet guy to bring the car back and stuff. The woman comes out, she says, I'll give you a villa. I'll give you, like, whatever you want. I just don't want you to leave.
Aww.
So I said, you don't understand. This is not the hotel I thought I was coming to.
They probably have people that are like loving this hotel.
I know. This is considered like a very, very classy hotel. But not for me.
I just like picture you storming out of there with your bags all pissed off.
I did.
Throwing them out.
Although, when you think about it, there is no reason to get pissed off,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I just felt helpless.
Helpless. I love you.
I'm telling you, helpless.
Helpless in a four-star hotel. What do I do with myself?
Yeah, I'm telling you, the room was small, okay?
Uh-huh.
All the
Did
room
they show
contained...
pictures online of the hotel?
Yeah, it didn't look
it wasn't
anything
bad at
like
all.
That. I think they have like probably six different types of rooms or something there.
Please tell me that you went to another hotel. You didn't like turn around and come home.
Okay, so...
like you were so angry. You're like, we're going back to L.A. Oh, no, you didn't.
That's exactly what I did.
No, you didn't. Oh, my God, I'd be so pissed at you. I would be so mad.
Okay, but listen to my thinking, okay?
No, I will, but no.
Okay, listen. It's already like 6 o'clock. It's dark outside.
And you're pissed.
Right? Yeah, so, I mean, when are you going to enjoy the hotel? Because it's already dark, you know, you don't really enjoy much. So you're going to go walk around in the dark. Get some to eat and go to sleep. And then in the morning you have to check out like 11 or 12. So what's the point?
But wait, how long were you checking out this hotel room that it was suddenly so late?
Yeah, well, we decided to leave kind of late, you know. So
right.
We left
so how are you going to enjoy that place anymore?
That's true.
You're
I didn't think
mad.
Of it that way.
You're just
it would
mad.
Have been the same way with this hotel.
And for people who don't know, Palm Springs in L.A., it's like, what, 2 hours?
Yeah.
2 hour drive?
2 hours.
Was there silence in the car?
There was. Yeah, I know. I'm an asshole.
I've been like, really? Like, we just sat in a car for 2 hours, and now we're turning around because there's no balcony. There's not a desk for your laptop. Oh,
no,
damn.
It was definitely... Look, I mean, there's hotels where you can hang out in the room and have fun,
yeah.
You know? It, because, you know, I mean, when you have like a sliding door and a balcony and stuff, it feels open.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to just a regular room where there's nothing...
No,
it's
I understand.
Just going to like a Motel 6 or
yeah,
something,
yeah.
You know?
No, I do get that. I love hotels.
Yeah.
I think hotels are fun. I think they're exciting.
But
I
that's definitely not a room you'd hang out in.
Okay. Do you want to plug them so people never go there?
Yeah. So if you just go to a hotel to sleep... then it would work, but
right.
Yeah.
But you wanted to go there and read.
Yeah, just hang out, you know. Usually I get upgraded to a suite, so you have a little sitting area and everything, you know.
Did you get upgraded because you complain?
No. it has happened a few times.
I know,
times.
You're one of those people that like write letters to places and stuff, so you get like coupons and stuff in the mail. Free stay, free this, free dinner.
No, never that, but I do get upgraded. One time in South Africa, I went with someone and we got like a little cabin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were getting bit by fucking mosquitoes. Like they're like, there's no tomorrow. I mean, I'm spending my time there.
In South Africa.
Yeah, like throwing a fucking pillow at the ceiling to kill the fucking mosquitoes.
Where'd you think you were staying? Were you in Africa?
But you expect, you know, I mean, not to be bitten by fucking
Excuse
mosquitoes.
Excuse me, sir, there are giraffes outside my window. You're in Africa. Like, are you not expecting to have, like, bugs and stuff? You're funny. You're
like, so I complained. They said, look at me. I said, I'm all bitten by mosquitoes and shit. And so they moved us to a suite.
Now I know why your wife didn't go to London with you. I wouldn't travel with you ever.
Yeah, I'm tough that way, let me tell you.
It's all right, but you know. Yeah.
I mean, you saw I was in London and I was going to write like a complainer's guide.
I know, which is actually really funny. I was like, this is the only person I know that goes on vacation and just is bitching. Let me tell you everything I hate about these places.
You know, in hindsight, I had a blast, you know, both in London and Israel. But it's just...
Why do you got to wait for hindsight? Why do you got to wait for hindsight to have fun? My memory is better than the actual.
I don't know how to enjoy myself.
That's cute, though. That's kind of how sex is. It always seems better afterwards than in the moment. I'm like, that was kind of hot.
Yeah, I don't know who you're having sex with. Doesn't happen to me.
You don't like it in the moment or afterwards?
In the moment, I like.
It's funny.
Yeah. So... Yeah, so that was funny, and...
So what'd you come home and do? You just came home and went to bed? Awesome. So then, was that when you posted about Saturday being a relaxed, chill night?
Yes, so I just came home and relaxed.
After a four-hour road trip.
I'm telling you, it's like we drove there to say hi and came back.
Then you drove there to complain. Throw your bags around.
I can't believe it. And driving is the worst part of the trip. You know?
Did you at least stop somewhere and have dinner or something?
No, not really. Just just a quick fast food.
Sounds like you owe somebody another weekend.
It's true, huh? Listen, we got a call, and we are expecting a guest on the phone as well. So let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi there. This is Joe Peacock. I was calling.
Yes, Joe. Yes, how you doing?
How are you?
Good. Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm on one of these cheap-ass Bluetooth headsets.
It sounds like. You sound like you're inside a well or something. If you want to sound better, try to just use the phone.
Like you said, if he wants to sound better. Yeah. Basically, Sam's asking him.
Yeah, how's that?
Yeah, that's better. That's better. So
great, good, yeah.
Great. So was it Joe or John? Joe, right?
Joe
Peacock, that's right. And I got an email from your publicist, I suppose. You wrote a book called Inconvenient... No, wait a minute. You tell me. I don't have my notes in front of me.
No, it's Mentally Incompetent.
Mentally Incompetent, that's it.
It's Monday.
Yeah. Oh, hey, yeah, you gotta forgive me. It's pretty early out where you guys are, too, yeah?
Yeah, Joe, where are you calling us from?
Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta. Okay, so you're a couple hours
ahead.
My
sister and my mom are in Atlanta.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Maybe he knows them.
Alpharetta. I guess that's outside of Atlanta.
They're in Alpharetta. They might as well be in Tennessee. They're way far away from where I'm at.
I see. Okay. And have you been to L.A. ever? To L.A.?
Yeah, a long time ago. I was I consulted out there. I was on a business trip. I didn't get to do much, but I was out there for a little bit.
I see. Okay, cool. So when did you release your book?
Well, the new book came out November 3rd, and seems to be doing okay. People are pretty interested in it. My first book came out in 2005. I self-published it, and just through the power of the internet and people being very cool, I ended up selling enough copies to get some attention. And Penguin Books, Gotham Books, noticed and signed me up for my second book, which
that's
is
awesome.
What just came out. So.
That's cool. So how does that happen? I mean, they just noticed, or you had to go to them and actually present this to them?
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. A friend of mine behind, without even my knowing, his name is Drew Curtis. He works for a website called Fark.com. And he owns it and doesn't work for it. He had a book through them, and when they were asking for any recommendations, if he knew anybody that was interesting, he passed my copy of my self-published book that I handed to him, and they read it and liked it and gave me a call. And I did very, very little to my own, disbelief there. I couldn't believe that they were calling me, and I didn't really do much to promote myself. I just kind of relied on other people to help me out, and it worked out.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's cool. So tell us about the new book. What is it about? I mean, from what I understood, you've got some interesting stories and things like that, so some unusual stories. So why don't you go ahead, how did the book come about?
Well, I started writing just stories on the web back before blog was even really a word. I was just writing stories about, stupid stuff that happened to me and my friends, my wife, you know, threw them up on the web, and people started reading them. You know, this was kind of, I did it more as an exercise. I just wanted to write and explore what that was about. And as people started reading and spreading the word, more and more attention was brought on the site. So I came up with this idea that if people liked a particular story out of, say, a batch of five, then that would be a chapter in a new book. And when I got enough chapters, I'd self-publish a book and stick it out there and maybe sell 12 copies, you know, 11 to my mom and one to my wife. And,
yeah.
You know, well, see how that worked out.
Yeah, that's an audience.
Without
that's
my
a way
even
to start.
Knowing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of exploded on me, actually. I was a little unaware of how many people were really paying attention. And when I put the book up for pre-sale, I sold a little over 1,000 in a week.
Wow. Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember that commercial from the Super Bowl a long time ago where it was for IBM's e-commerce services where the companies all gathered around their website and they hit go and they launched their website and they start to watch the orders and it's like 3 orders and everybody claps and then it's 34 and everybody's like screaming and yelling and cheering and then the next thing they know is 2,804 and they all kind of look at each other and like, how are we going to do this?
Uh-huh.
That's kind of what it was like here at this house.
Wonderful. That's cool.
It was a book shipping party is what it was for a month.
Yeah.
Wow, good for you.
That's cool. So tell us some what's like the story that you like to tell, you know, the some of the things that happened to you. I mean, I never really got the book from you guys, so I kind of read the press release and stuff. And
I need to send you a book. Yeah, when we get done here, you know, give me your address. I'll make sure you get one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's usually easier to talk about a book when you get it in advance.
You mean you want
to
read something before you talk about it, Sam?
Well, yeah, I guess because you haven't read it, I could make anything I want up.
That's true. There you go.
There was this one time I got my superpowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite story to tell, like at signings and stuff, just because it's short. Is the time I hit a deer on my mountain bike and pretty much knocked myself and the deer out. I was just cruising down a hill and I was, you know, doing all these manly jumps with my manly bike. And I don't know. I mean, you're a guy, so I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the same with girls, and I'm not trying to be sexist, but for some reason, you know, guys on bicycles, the first thing you want to do is jump it, right? You know, and so when you master that art and you take it out in the woods and you find these little jumps, you're just going as fast as you can and sailing through the air. And I hit one jump and landed it, and all of a sudden a deer ran right out in front of me, and I just collided right into the deer.
Wow.
Knocked myself completely out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I came to, I actually, and this is sort of secondhand, I apparently had a conversation with the deer. Asking him if he wanted to trade insurance and if he was okay, and just kind of completely out of my mind. And it was recounted to me by the two guys who saw the entire thing happen.
Oh, I see. So there were people to actually document this.
You asked the deer if he wanted to trade insurance information.
Yeah, they hilarious. Weren't with me at all, and they just happened to see this whole thing go down. And I felt like such a moron, but, I mean... When you have a broken rib and a broken wrist, there's not much you can do to, you know, look manly at that point. You just kind of stand up and accept their help and deal with the fact that they're laughing at you the whole time you're walking out of the woods.
Yeah, that's actually pretty serious. I mean, if you broke some ribs and stuff, you know?
Just one.
Yeah, it must have been like a big deal.
You're so manly. I mean, he's like, just one. I can handle it. I'm a man.
Yeah.
Well, think about deer. I mean, they crush your windshield like when you hit them with a car. Imagine hitting them with your body.
Yeah, that's true. And
cool. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing is that that's how I opened the story is that, you know, you see cars that hit deers and they're just demolished beyond belief. But when you hit one with a bike, actually, there's remarkable little damage to the bike, but the rider gets completely demolished.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that, it did not feel good at all.
Did the deer survive?
And then the other story that I think most people... like to, I mean, it's the story that most people know me for, is the Walmart story. And we're coming up on Black Friday, so I guess it's topical. But when I was just out of high school, I needed a job, and I was going to college and couldn't really afford to eat ramen, so I ended up taking a job at Walmart. Mm-hmm. And in the suburbs of Georgia, there isn't too awful much going on in terms of conversation or intellect, and especially during the night shift at Walmart. So I didn't really fit in very well at all.
Uh-huh.
And the social structure there was not built for me, that's for sure. And I worked in the electronics department. And what my responsibilities were supposed to be was just be there so no one shoplifted stuff during the night, you know, between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m.
Right.
And the other employees of the store had convinced me that it was part of my responsibility to go like help stock shelves elsewhere. And if somebody wanted a goldfish at 4 a.m, go get that for them. And basically I was running rampant all around the store and leaving my department completely open.
Wow.
And it was getting just pilfered. You know, just every single night my counts were off. And
people
were shoplifting all kinds of stuff, batteries, film,
radio. And those are employees stealing all this stuff, right?
Oh, well, I mean, no, it wasn't the employees. It was customers just come in and, you know, pocket stuff.
Oh,
you know,
I mean,
but you're too busy grabbing goldfish.
Very little surveillance in that store. And so, like, one night my manager just yelled and screamed and said, hey, look, you don't leave this department, okay? And when he reset my expectations, I guess is what they called it, I figured out that, hey, you know, working at Walmart at night isn't so bad because satellite TV was just getting, you know, big. It was, I think it was called USSB at the time, and DVDs had just come out. And what I found is that I got to spend 8 hours a night just watching television and movies and doing my homework and chilling out. And I loved it, you know, and the shoplift numbers went way down and everything was great. I think they called it shrinkage.
Yes.
The other employees did not like this at all. So what they would do is they have these little handheld scan guns. This is 96, so this was kind of new technology, where you could go to inventory and scan the barcode and then check inventory from there. And they were upping the inventory counts so that when the morning count was done, it looked like things were being stolen, like a radio and film and batteries, and just completely screwing me over.
Wow.
And I got fired because of that, even though I was doing my job of sitting on my rear watching television the whole night.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I didn't like that. So the day after Thanksgiving in 96, I snuck into the store. They closed the store Thursday, the day of Thanksgiving. They closed the store at like 6 o'clock in the evening so everybody can go home and have their turkey and all that good stuff. And the next morning at 12, they opened for their overnight shift to get the store ready for their big doorbuster sales. You know, they're going to, you know, cut lipstick in half or whatever.
Wow.
Can get like a talking baby doll for, you know, $6 or whatever. Yeah. And so I snuck into the store and hijacked the intercom system, and I was the one who set up all of the electronics. So all of the televisions all plugged into one bank of equipment. So you had one DVD player on one rack of televisions, the VCR on the second rack, and then the satellite TV on the third rack.
Right.
And I set them all up to play some porn.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I turned off all the televisions and snuck out of the department. And at 6, when the sale began, I went back into the store as a customer, and I had the remotes in my pocket. I got on the intercom system because I still had, you know, the code to get on the intercom, and told everyone there was a big sale in electronics. Get there now. And as soon as they arrived at the department, I hit the button, turned on the television, and the rest
awesome.
Is history.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Were there a lot of viewers?
I'm sure everybody was shocked.
Yeah, it was,
you
packed.
Know?
Like, the department was completely packed. The store was packed.
Yeah.
And
what did people do?
You know, at 19, you're not thinking much about, you know, are there children watching,
right,
or social ramifications. No, this is just funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And so how did you end up paying for this? I mean, you must have had to pay a big price for a prank like this.
They never really caught me, but they knew it was me. I mean, you know, enough people had seen me kind of skulking through the store, so I had to do a little community service, but it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, you're already fired at that point.
It was worth it, right?
That is a pretty good prank, though.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, this is cool. So, well, congratulations on the book. It sounds like a lot of fun and stuff, and I know that you've got a collection there of some really funny stories. So, you know, but I'm sort of like, you know, feeling myself in the dark here until we get the book. But do send it to us, and we'll put a link. What is your blog? Can people go there and visit?
Yeah, well, the main hub of all things Joe is joepeacock.com. Mm-hmm. Just about everything I'm up to is from that site. You can read my daily blog. You can go to the Middle Incontinent site and read all the stories. Both the first book and the second book are available for free from those sites. You can read all the stories from those books.
Oh, wow.
Or you can, you know, order one. I think the first book is officially out of print now.
Right.
But the second book is still available. And, you know, it will be available for a long time, I hope.
Right. And that's Mental Incontinent. Yeah, yeah. And you have a website for the book as well, right? MentallyIncontinent.com?
Yes, sir, and it's available from the joepeacock.com site as well.
Awesome. Joe, thank you so much. Congratulations on the book. It sounds like you're you're on a roll there with the books and stuff. How long have you always known you like to write?
Well, I kept a journal when I was younger. I never had intentions of really being a writer, you know, like making my living from writing.
Right.
So when the first book came out and people were actually buying it, it was a big shock. It still is. I mean, I still can't believe that I get to do this every day, you know, and do interviews with folks like you guys. And yeah, it's just been a blast. It's so much fun.
Right.
But I don't really think of myself as a writer. I think you have to own a velvet bathrobe to be a writer, don't you?
Probably. Well, you can always get one.
Or you could just be like me and go to Starbucks.
Well, Sarah Palin doesn't, so yeah. I don't know.
Well, Joe Peacock, thank you so much for your time. And again, congratulations on the book. Everybody go out and get it. And all the best to you.
Best of luck.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So that's Joe Peacock for you. And
that's interesting, doing an interview you don't have a book.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of like, you know, you're like,
good job,
know.
Sam, it was good. It's good.
Yeah, but I did try to catch the press release, you know, and it told you a little bit about
sounds fun. He sounds
him
like
having like a
stories.
Lot of crazy things happening to him and stuff.
I'm still really amused by him like being all out of it and asking the deer for insurance. I think that's funny. He's smarter than me. I just took cash.
All right, so you want to do sharing with Sherry real quick before our guest shows up?
Okay.
Are you all ready for that?
I can be.
Okay. I can't be.
I had to pee.
No, you didn't.
It's okay.
You'll have to wait.
I know.
Over to you.
And over to me. So today, I'm just going to read as usual. There's 11. This is one of my favorite things. I've had this for a while, and it's called Rules for Being Human. And it's just kind of like little life lessons and things that I think we get taught over and over again. And it kind of just sums up things a little bit for
you. The human condition.
If you want to call it that. Just kind of basic rules about life and the things that happen to you and kind of just encompassing it into nice little words and stuff. So. So, rules for being human. Number one, you will receive a body. You may like it or hate it, but it will be yours for the entire period this time around. Okay?
Sounds good. Makes
Number
sense.
Two, you will learn lessons. You are enrolled in a full-time informal school called Life. Each day in this school, you will have the opportunity to learn lessons. You may like the lesson or think them irrelevant and stupid.
Yeah, that's good.
Number three, there are no mistakes, only lessons. There is a process of trial and error, experimentation. The failed experiments are as much as part of the process as the experiment that ultimately works.
Okay.
Number four, a lesson is repeated until it is learned. A lesson will be presented to you in various forms until you have learned it. When you have learned it, you can then go on to the next lesson.
Yeah.
That one is so true.
That's what I say.
That one gets like smacked in my face all the time.
Yeah.
And not the way I like it.
And it keeps coming up, you know? I mean, even when you think you solved the problem or you've gotten over it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's because you really haven't.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Right.
So it keeps coming back.
Well, no, that's how my thing was the other night by going out with that guy. I was just like, why did you feel the need to go there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you'd already ended.
Yeah, it was so over,
yeah,
you know?
It was so over, but, you know, sometimes you just hold on to things.
Yeah.
And then I got, you know, literally smacked.
Yeah.
Well, I smacked him. Okay, number five, learning lessons does not end. There is no part of life that does not contain its lessons. If you are alive, there are lessons to be learned. Number six, I like this one. There is no better than here. There is no better than here.
I see, okay.
When your there has become a here, you will simply obtain another there that will again look better than here.
Right.
Basically, like grass is always greener.
Grass is always greener.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Number seven, others are merely mirrors of you. Boy, you sure look good, Sam.
In reverse.
You cannot love or hate something about another person unless it reflects something you love or hate about yourself.
Oh, really?
That one I find all the time. Like, when I find, like, little things annoying about people, I'm like, and I stop and think, I'm like, why does it bother me so much? And I'm like, oh, maybe I'm like that sometimes,
yeah,
you know? And it's not always like a conscious thing. Sometimes I realize things afterwards. I'm like, oh, I kind of act like that, you know?
Yeah,
so
I know. I've been thinking that a lot lately about myself.
Great. Number 8, what you make of your life is up to you. You have all the tools and resources you need. What you do with them is up to you. The choice is yours.
Right.
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 Number 9, I like this one too. Your answers lie inside of you. The answers to life questions lie inside you. All you need to do is look, listen, and trust.
Okay. You see, now that one I don't believe. So.
That's why you don't know life's lessons. Because you don't believe that you do. You already do have all the answers.
Yeah,
do you think
guess.
They just come out of nowhere? Like when you figure stuff out, where does that come from?
Well, when you acquire more knowledge, I think, you know. You may not have all the answers inside of you.
Well, I think there's basic underlying answers to everything, and it's more. And I think for me, the basic underlying answer is trust your instincts, trust your heart, your spirit, do the right thing, and yeah. Everything solves itself.
Oh,
really.
God. Okay.
Oh, God. Number 10, you will forget all this. And for you, number 11, uh-huh. You can remember it whenever you want.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Because it's true, I've read this so many times.
Yeah.
And then whenever I pull it back out, I'm like, oh, yeah, I did forget all that. But I can remember it whenever I want because I can just pick this out.
Exactly.
So those are life lessons of being human.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
I like those.
I do not have a positive news story.
No, huh?
No.
Wow.
I mean, there were some, but they were just so boring. I'm like, who wants to hear about technology?
Yeah.
I don't even understand it, especially when I can't share stories I don't understand. I was reading stuff. I'm like, what does that mean?
Okay.
What does that mean? I was trying to find the quote. I had a Facebook quote this morning that I really liked as well, but take up too much time to. Basically, something along the lines by Ralph Marston that you cannot appreciate. No, forget it. It's basically about acquiring other stuff. Like until you cannot be happy acquiring other stuff until you're already happy with what you already
have. With what
have.
You have.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And that's a thing to live by
for
every moment. Just like all the rich people that get all the things they want and then they're miserable.
Yeah.
It's because before that they weren't happy.
Yeah. Boy, you're full of wisdom this morning, man.
So are you. You just haven't realized it yet.
Yeah. I like the song. Let's,
thank you.
Sum it up with that.
Thank
too.
You. You can just play this for a couple of seconds. Thank you.
Okay.
You can tune it out.
All right. I know you want to go to the bathroom, so we're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
I've been trying to find a situation to straighten out my life, 'cause in every part that I've been playing, something isn't right. Cause if what you do is a good feeling, working from your soul, and the love you give to the thing you do can only make it grow.
Mm-hmm.
We're back.
We are.
For another hour of talking shit.
Thank God I have 5 shots in my coffee cup. I don't want to like it because then I'll have to order it this way every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are my eyes bulging out of my head?
Yeah. What age did you start drinking coffee?
About 4 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so all these years you never drank coffee.
No, hated it. Didn't find anything good about it. And then I think it was like 2004. Mm-hmm. I like tried to stop doing like the sugar thing.
Right.
And like completely because diabetes runs in my family and all this stuff. So I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to do this no sugar because I don't want that to be any part of my life.
Right.
And so I'd heard about these sugar-free coffees at Starbucks, like, you know, and so they just kind of sounded good. Uh-huh. I was reading this website and I was like, I'll go try one. And that was it. All done from there.
Really?
Like, suddenly I was like loving coffee.
Yeah.
And now I'm making up for lost time.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't drink it in college at all. I didn't drink it growing up. Nothing.
Really?
No. Not
you know, I'm not in touch with my body in that way. I mean, I don't feel that the coffee really like makes me wired or anything,
yeah.
You know, but I do have to have it in the morning.
So it obviously does something about
it. Does something.
What happens if you don't have it?
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm cranky and stuff, you know? So I'm hooked on it, you know? Yeah. I mean, from an early age, I mean, my mom used to give us coffee since we're, you know.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, so it's just like part of your life. But I was going to say, I'm not sure the coffee makes you uncranky.
Yeah.
You might want to try something else. Or have an IV.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Just ask the concierge,
yeah.
Or whatever at your hotel. How you are. Not the concierge, whatever, you know. Yeah. So I bet you it does something for your body. Otherwise, you wouldn't feel like you had to have
it. Yeah,
I'm
sure.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure, yeah.
I don't know. I just have it once a day and I'm good. It doesn't balance me out. I do it for the jitters.
Mm-hmm.
I like the jitters. I like the jitters. They're fun.
Yeah.
And also, I told you, it makes me want to hug people more. I don't know what it is about caffeine.
Really?
It's like,
yeah, it does, huh?
Caffeine equals more love.
I see. God, you're crazy.
Duh. I know. You know, you know who Jude Law is?
Yes.
I was listening on the radio this morning that he, I guess, is in New York right now because he's about to do Sherlock Holmes,
mm-hmm.
Broadway show. And so he has this place an apartment or whatever across from these freshman dorm rooms by NYU maybe. And I guess he does yoga on his rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has like all these freshman girls like watching him do yoga all day. We got so angry at them for watching him like all day long that he took oranges and like threw them at his window.
Really?
Yes. And I'm like, if you hate people watching you so much, then do yoga in your apartment.
Yeah, exactly. And don't be a fucking actor either.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Like, I mean, yeah. I granted yoga, he wants it to be his private time and it's all about like,
yeah, don't do it on the fucking
right
roof,
exactly though. And so they're all like tweeting and twittering about how much they hate Jude Law now.
Really?
And you know what's funny is that I waited last night on Frankie Avalon.
Uh-huh.
You know Frankie Avalon?
Yes
I waited on Frankie Avalon.
Okay, and, is our guest here?
Yes, he is.
Okay, come on in. I don't know why the okay, go ahead. Have a seat. We have Adam Glasser in the studio, made it here in one piece, which is cool. Good morning to you. Just try to stay close to the mic.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I see. Okay, we're bringing you water and everything.
Yeah.
Do you need a girl on your lap, too?
No.
Make
no,
you feel
I'm
at
okay.
home or
I
anything?
I just left one.
Oh.
Who needs more? Who needs them all day long?
Yeah. Well, thank you for showing up. I mean, that's cool. We tried to call you last week, but you were on another show, I understand.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, don't worry about it. But now we got you in person, which is really cool.
Much better.
Yeah.
It is.
So you live nearby, right?
I mean, I do.
You're an LA man.
I do actually. I'm on right off Sepulveda.
Really?
Yeah. So
wow.
Very close. I just didn't know exactly. You know, my eyes aren't that great.
Yeah.
And you know the numbers are so small when you're driving by, but so I pass it once. But I'm.
That's
but I'm
okay.
Here.
I drive here every day and I pass it sometimes too. I really do. I'm like shit. I'm gonna turn around.
So I mean, did you grow up here in LA?
Well, from 13 on, and the first part of my life was spent back in New York.
In New York.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody seems to be from New York. That's in LA, you know. Did you notice that?
Well, there's certainly a lot of people move here from other places, definitely.
Right.
I think that's the curse of the Rose Bowl.
I see. Okay.
You know, the Rose Bowl is played every year on in January.
In January.
And the rest of the country watches us play football in sunshine and says, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah, that's true.
So like I said, everyone moves here just get warmer. Yeah. Like, it's perfect weather.
Yeah.
And look at the weather today.
Yeah, look at it today, man.
Unbelievable.
The same every day.
I know. See, I think perfect weather is New York.
Yeah.
My friend's like, it's cold and rainy and cloudy. I'm like, oh, perfect.
Oh, God, you're one of those.
I love New York. You can't, like, tell me anything wrong about New York. So.
No. I love New York as well, but the weather is not necessarily the number one thing, the number one reason why I like it.
Right. Well, yeah. No, me neither, but...
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you've gotten a lot of pussy here and stuff in this town, so you must like it for some reason, right?
Oh, yeah, certainly that's one of the reasons, although I don't know if the town has much to do with that.
Oh, really?
I can get anywhere.
I'm guessing, yeah, I mean, I've been successful in outside of California as well.
I'm sure.
I would hope so.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, how do you get into porn? And first of all, how long have you been in porn?
Almost 20 years.
20 years?
Almost 20 years, yeah.
Wow, so you started pretty early.
I was 28 when I got involved.
Oh,
so
I see.
So I'm 46 right now.
So it's kind of later in life you did.
Well, yeah.
I mean, most people just out of college.
Well, certainly now... Yeah, I mean, especially when you're talking about performers. Performers are getting in about 18, you know, 19,
oh, really?
20.
Yeah.
And I came in as a director, producer, and performer, so to speak, all three in one.
I see. Okay, so you started your
Not
own
Not good
gig,
at any of them, to be honest.
Really? Well, you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, I have like a zillion questions going through my head, but continue.
Go ahead.
No. Continue. Yeah. I was just thinking, okay. How do you be bad at anything, really?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How do you be bad at, I mean, there's so much bad porn out there and good porn. Like, I mean, you got to fall in somewhere, right?
Right.
Yeah. But you must have done something right, because you came up with the name Seymour Butts, and it became a brand.
Essentially, yeah. No, it's truly a global brand in a sense. Now that I mean, our movies are distributed in at least 23 countries throughout the world.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Our television show is played in probably 50 countries throughout the world, and we're pretty well known now.
Yeah. So you've lasted quite a bit. I mean, obviously, with that name and the reputation.
Well, you know. I've had some longevity, definitely. But you know, I've put a lot, you know, I make a lot of effort to make sure that I stay relevant, so to speak.
Right.
How did you decide, like at 28, that I want to go into porn?
Well, it was actually not necessarily, it was a decision that was based on an experience that I had, which was I was I owned a gym in downtown LA.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, downtown LA now is a little bit different than it was 25 years ago, let's say.
Yeah. How is it different now?
Well, now, you know, there's people that are actually living there, and
right.
You know, I mean, it's cleaned up. They have it's more vibrant now. You know, it's back then you really didn't even go there at night. You know, you only really went there during the day when you had to work.
Right.
So yeah, it was all business. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now there's cool loss down there. There's some nightlife.
You know, that's the time exactly. I mean, that's when the whole loft thing was kind of developing and growing. And I thought I was getting in there at a good time. I got in there, you know, a little bit early. I was a little bit premature. Unfortunately, not the first time in my life.
I was going to say, not good in your industry, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, and so what happened was is that the gym was struggling, and I was looking for other ways to bring in income.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was suggested to me, because the gym was aesthetically, it was kind of interesting looking. It was exposed brick walls and exposed pipes on the ceiling, a very kind of East Coast feeling gym.
Mm-hmm.
I would raise big rolling loading dock doors up to let the air, you know, whatever fresh air there was back then in downtown LA. And so Hollywood did rent it out as a location, and actually Miller Genuine Draft made it snow in my gym.
Really?
And then one day a gentleman named Buttman walked in and said he wanted to rent the gym for to make a movie, an adult movie.
Really? In the gym?
In the gym.
Uh-huh.
And he came in and he did make a movie, and he made the movie all in one day. One movie,
yeah,
one day.
One day.
You were like,
a little handheld video camera, one other gentleman there that was taking still photos, a makeup artist, and, you know, he paid everybody in cash at the end of the day. Everybody left with smiles.
Yeah.
And you know, from my perspective, it opened my eyes to the lack, or you didn't need to have so much technical skill or knowledge to make an adult movie.
Right.
You know, I had always thought it was somewhat similar, not exact, but at least similar to the Hollywood filmmaking process.
Right.
Lots of technical knowledge needed, lots of people on set, you know, lots of equipment that you needed to know how to operate.
You thought it's like a whole thing or something.
Yeah. And it really wasn't the whole thing, and that was the day that I thought, you know, I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah, there you go. And you figured how much money they probably make off of this. I mean, you can get a pretty good idea by how successful porn has become, how mainstream.
Well, just to give you an idea, the one statistic I throw at people that generally blows them away is that the adult entertainment industry generates more revenue than the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and the National Hockey League all combined.
Combined. Wow.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I think I give most of my money over.
Yeah. A big Red Tube fan here.
Shush.
Red Tube, boo.
Why? Oh, do you have your own?
Well, no, but you know, I mean, Red Tube is that's pirated stuff.
Right. And,
great.
And you're
thanks,
not into
thanks
that.
For calling me out.
Yeah. Now every time you masturbate, feel guilty about something else.
I already do. I'm Jewish.
Yeah, but you know, that's one of the big, you know, that's one of the big problems that we have in our industry is obviously pirated materials.
Yeah. But let me ask you this though. I mean, you don't get to see a whole movie on RedTube and stuff like that. Wouldn't you think that if your clip made it in there, it actually promotes it, that people would want to actually see it, the better quality, see the whole thing? You know,
certainly if I decided that was a good business move for me,
right,
then yes, I could take a clip of my movies, put some promotional material on it, like the URL to my website flashing across the bottom of the screen, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that I didn't do it.
Right.
Somebody else did it, and they didn't even give me credit. In other words, you might not even know you're watching one of my movies.
I see, okay.
Because there might be, say, here's a trip with my girlfriend,
gotcha.
When it's really...
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know,
so I can see where. Yeah. I mean,
I
intellectual property.
Like
yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, essentially, you don't even know if you're watching my stuff or not because they're not crediting it.
Yeah.
Right.
They're just loading it up with content, which is what they want.
Right. Right.
But you know, the bottom line is the cream does rise to the top, and you know, with RedTube, you know. Every time you click on one of those little boxes that previews a scene for you or that gives you that scene, you don't know what you're getting.
Right.
It might be good, might be bad. You don't really know. There's no real consistency there for
you. Yeah, and it's usually shitty quality anyway.
Right. So,
I don't know. I've pretty much become an expert at what I know I'm going to like.
Yeah.
I stay in the 4.5-star range. You've got to have at least 8 minutes on there, and you've got to finish for me. I'm good. I know exactly what I like.
Not a lot to expect. That's
Let me
fine.
Tell you something about women in porn, because I was watching Oprah the other day, and Lisa Ling was reporting about... porn and erotica for women, and they're saying now that one in every three women are online porn.
Really?
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have some statistics in my book about that as well, and I'll tell you that at least 50% of the purchases made off of my website at SeymourButts.com are at least there's women's names on the credit card.
Right.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're saying like 70% of women actually do like watch porn, I heard, you know, and they just don't admit to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I've never had a problem saying.
Yeah. Well, if you're representative of women, then...
then they're all sick.
They all watch too much.
You know, that is one of the themes in my book, which is that, you know, women... First of all, the fact is that all women are different, but secondly, the fact is that women are changing, and it's a different landscape out there than it was.
Right.
That's what
you say in your book, yeah. And you kind of give advice how to deal with a new woman, let's say.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct. I mean, you know, the bottom line is that there's more pressure than ever today, because you're watching now, you can see 30 different guys, how they perform it in one shot.
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes, you can sample 30 different guys and how they perform and what they do and their technique, etc. and compare it to your to the guy that you were with the other night.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and that makes that puts some pressure on men nowadays.
Right.
And women are empowered to discuss their sexuality and to.
Right. But obviously women have always had to deal with it because men would do the same thing. Right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're getting our comeuppance, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, in a sense, and women, and that's another theme in the book, which is that women are changing. Women are changing to become more like us men.
Right.
And us men are becoming more like women, in a sense. We're becoming somewhat feminized.
I see.
So true. Yeah.
And so we're actually becoming closer together than further apart.
Right.
But we still have to adapt our behaviors to... you know, to adjust for that change and to compensate for that change.
That's true. So now going back, how did you come up with your name with Seymour Butts? I mean, I think it's a brilliant name.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, if I knew then what I know now, I possibly would have chosen somewhat of a cooler name. You know, like Johnny Lust.
Right.
Or, you know, something cool. That, you know.
I know. I remember when
I mean, you're walking in the mall and you hear somebody say, "Hey, Seymour."
Yeah.
You know, it's a little rough.
Well, it's funny because when I first heard it, I was like thinking it was a dorky name, and it wasn't until last night that I realized, oh, Seymour Butts. I got it.
Better late than never.
I'm a little slow sometimes, so don't take it personally.
So how did the name come about? I mean, how did you think of it?
You know, it was something that I wanted it to be memorable, the name, and I wanted it to be somewhat humorous, and I wanted it to be somewhat... telling of the type of movies that I was going to be shooting.
Right.
Because I have, if anybody hasn't noticed, I do have somewhat of a tushy fetish.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Okay.
Most of my movies are
like
focused around anal sex.
I see. Okay. So
that's all there.
Right.
Yeah, but that's exactly why. Seymour Butts. You're going to see a lot of butts.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you decided right away that you're going to be the star of your movies? Is that how it worked? You might as well, right?
Well, not necessarily. You know, it didn't happen right away, but it did happen after I found that, you know, it was such a crapshoot with the hiring of male performers. You know, you just didn't know what you were getting, so to speak, and you were wasting a lot of money if you didn't get what you thought you were getting.
Right, exactly. If they can't perform...
It's rough,
yeah.
I mean, like I say in the book, I've wasted more time than I have in traffic here waiting for hard-ons.
Really?
Just, you know, 5 more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
5 more minutes. Dude, it's not happening, okay?
Yeah.
5 minutes, 10 minutes, it don't matter. It's not happening for you.
Yeah.
But that's a very difficult thing for guys to accept.
It really is. And to do, too. I mean, to, you know, to be in front of many people and stay hard and actually have sex. Yeah,
very,
I don't think
it's the
I
most difficult
it.
Job in the industry.
I think so,
it is
yeah.
much more difficult when the, you know, from a physical standpoint, much more difficult than what the females have.
Right.
You know, mentally, obviously, the women have a little bit more to deal with, I think.
Right.
Yeah, but from a physical standpoint, I, you know, in my experience, you know, 95% of the guys, the new guys that come to me and say, "Hey, I want to try this," that I give an opportunity to, fail miserably.
Really?
Yeah.
Miserably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have to like audition for? I mean,
you know, now I won't take anybody new.
Okay.
I need to see tape.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I need to, you know, and not only do I need to see tape, because tape can be deceiving.
Yeah.
I need to actually talk to somebody that shot this person.
I see. Okay, yeah.
Because yeah,
otherwise,
because,
like
you
said, it costs you money.
Right, absolutely. And I could see a tape where, you know, the guy looks like he's hard for 20 minutes on the scene, but it took him 3 or 4 hours to shoot that scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what they, you know, that's what they got, 20 minutes of hard footage.
Right. Wow.
It's so technical.
Yeah, it is.
I know.
Well, it's a business. And,
yeah.
You know, unfortunately, not everybody in the industry treats it as a business because of its nature.
Right.
You know, and it's very easy to get sucked up into the non-business.
Yeah, like just do it for the fun and that
party.
Sort of thing.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, we have a convention every year in Vegas. How much business gets done there? Well, I can guarantee you not as much as it would if there wasn't half as much partying going on.
Right, right.
Because
yeah.
that's what it is. It's
yeah.
like a big, you know, I haven't been in years because I'm just, you know, with the party thing, I'm done.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. You got all the partying out of your system.
Yeah, I mean, sex, I'm not done with.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful naked women, I'm not done with.
Yeah,
see,
I don't think
that's my main question. That's my main question. Saying, no, that you've slept with over 500 women, correct?
Well, 600.
Okay.
I don't mean to brag.
Yeah,
again,
I don't look at it.
I don't look at it as a badge of honor necessarily anymore.
But I guess I think. Does sex become old? I mean, you still get turned on by women?
No, it doesn't get old.
Really?
I mean, I could have anal sex with my fiance every day for the rest of my life, and I'm okay with it.
Really? Wow. You're that sexed up and stuff, huh?
Well,
Every day with
not
the same
every
woman,
day.
Yeah.
You know, not, no, I, yeah. I think that's an exaggeration every day. But I'm just saying that if somebody said to me, hey, you have to have anal sex with this woman for that, I wouldn't be arguing.
Yeah.
I'm not fighting it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, certainly every day is not realistic.
Right.
And I'm not, you know, it's impossible for a couple to be at it every day for their entire relationship because two people just aren't on every day.
Right.
Together at the same time. You know, it's just natural.
I just feel like after a while, I would just be like, oh, it's just another woman. Like, I mean, like after that many women, you know, or that many
but
men.
But it's
like,
not because we're wired, I think, to go through as many as possible, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? And looking back at it, to me, like I said, you know, there's in a sense some regret because of the fact that I know that in order to bed 600 women, I had to be saying a lot of things that I didn't really mean.
Right. Yeah. You said that in the book, too. That's true. Because otherwise you can't get that many.
No,
women,
there's
no
way.
Yeah, not if you're yourself, right?
Absolutely not. Same thing, kind of, you know, somebody asked me, well, why should we read a book by you? Why not a doctor? And I said, look, I'm not going to a doctor who's had enough time to spend fucking as much as I have.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go to that doctor.
Yeah.
If he has as much experience as me in the bedroom, then he doesn't have enough experience somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
That's a good way to look at it.
True.
Yeah. Well, so now, at what point did you discover that you actually enjoyed anal sex? Was that like early
on? I don't
know.
Yeah, that's something. You know, it started with, you know, one of the first things I noticed about girls, or one of the reasons why I became I noticed myself becoming attracted to girls was the way their asses looked in jeans.
Mm.
You know, it was one of those things where there were certain girls that had the absolutely perfectly shaped butt,
right.
You know, and jeans some just did something for it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and back then I can remember, I mean, I even knew the brands. I'll bet you I can name brands you don't even know, like Chemin de Fer. You ever heard of Chemin de Fer?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Heard of
I thought you were going to say like Jordache or something.
Jordache is another one, but Chemin de Fer was even, that was the ass-hugging jean. And then there was this thing called Dittos back then, which were the surfer girls kind of wore these tight with no pockets on the back.
Uh-huh, I know what you're talking about, actually.
Right, with those jeans with the no pockets, I loved.
Your face is like lighting up.
I loved it.
Right.
You know, so yeah, that, I mean, and why? I couldn't tell you. You know, it's like in the book where I talk about...
You can appreciate the way an ass looks and feels, but why would you feel you want to penetrate?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I can't tell you. Maybe it's because it's taboo.
Yeah. Mm.
Maybe it's because, you know, if a girl lets me do that, that means that she's, you know,
into you and
totally relinquishing herself to me, surrendering herself to me, however you want to look at it like that.
Right.
Although I doubt I was thinking that at 16.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that when you first had anal sex at 16?
I know I was interested in it then.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
It's like, whoa.
Yes. Yeah, I had anal sex for, you know, 16, 17 was when I started. It wasn't regular.
Yeah.
It was hard to get.
It's hard to find.
Well,
yeah.
I know plenty of men that don't like it at all.
Especially there's a story in my book about me getting thrown out of an Asian massage parlor.
Really?
Because I asked for anal sex and she said, she looked at me, her eyes lit up and she said, oh, you want poo-poo love. You gay.
Poo-poo love. That's awesome.
That's exactly what she said.
You want to ride Hershey Highway.
Yeah. Did you ever get lucky that way during a massage? Have you had sex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
absolutely.
Cool. Yeah, with someone you didn't know, right?
Right.
Before.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
No. So I mean, how did you get so much pussy? I'm really curious because you've had to say things
what
things did you have to say?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I could, you know, if I could break it down like that because, of course, every individual situation is different.
I was gonna say it's probably what you knew each woman needed to hear.
I mean, I have this way of being able to will things in a sense.
Really?
Manifesting.
Yeah, that's what she calls it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have to be able, you know, if I set, you know, if I target something, I have a way of doing that. But then again, you know, many of these encounters were one night stands. Mm-hmm. That,
right.
So, you know, I could also be honest and say probably I wasn't as discriminating possibly at times mm-hmm. as others.
Right.
Who is?
Yeah.
You know, and then here's the other side of the coin is that, hey, when I was, you know, that's what I was majoring in high school.
Right.
Pussy.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Because I didn't do good in school.
I see.
I mean, again, to bed 600 women, you don't have enough time to be studying
That's true. You're on the prowl.
You're on the prowl yeah. all the time. You're thinking about how you're going to do it, when yeah. you're going to do it, who yeah. you're going to do it with, blah,
so
blah, blah,
that
blah.
Sounds like an addiction to me.
Well.
No?
You know, maybe, you know,
I mean, you feel so preoccupied with it. Although I think all men are
sex
addicts, right?
It's a natural, in a sense, to be preoccupied with it. Again, but it's a matter of when you can't let it overtake you. The advice I give to my son, who's 13 now, is, and I'm so happy that he's not really interested in. I know that he's attracted to girls, but it's not a focus of his life.
Right.
Well, he's like waited a couple
of
years.
Not yet, anyway, yeah.
But listen, at 13, I was getting laid.
Okay.
I mean, not getting laid regularly,
right.
but I got laid.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Wow. You know, in second grade, I can remember finger-banging a girl.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's young.
In the planetarium.
Yeah.
Taught.
I didn't even know what, I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, I had sex before I masturbated.
Really?
Wow. Okay.
That's pretty interesting.
So when I, after, so yeah. first of all, when I had sex, I had no idea.
Oh, what an orgasm was going to be like.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I had no idea what
happened.
What the whole point was.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, though, 30 seconds after I'm inside, I feel something welling up in my toes.
Uh-huh.
That shoots up the rest of my body, uh-huh. the most incredibly intense feeling that I've ever felt in my life. Didn't know it was called an orgasm.
Right.
I hyperventilated during the whole event.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I totally hyperventilated during the sex.
And
she had no clue what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
And then I went home afterwards, you know?
Mm. And did it a lot more.
And no, well, I didn't. I had to think about it.
Uh-huh.
I actually thought, okay. Now, my penis was going in and out of something. It was somewhat tight. How could I possibly simulate this?
So you had never heard of masturbation?
No. No clue.
Wow.
No clue. I mean, I actually literally took my hand in front of my face, formed it into somewhat of a thing, and it was like a light bulb went off on the top of my head. Ding, 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 ding.
That's hilarious. And you never left home after that.
Exactly. Now I was done. That was it. I learned I could do that myself.
Yeah,
forget it.
Yeah.
Thank God I can't suck myself off.
Yeah. Well, you would have, right?
Yeah, no, I'd be, yeah, it'd
yeah,
be
I'd
over.
Never leave home either. I was thinking about dogs. I'm like, dogs have the best lives.
You wrote something about in your book, right, about men sucking themselves off and stuff like that, like a certain percentage or something?
Very small percentage of men can do that, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, again, another Yogis. Theme in my book is, you know, bigger is not necessarily
right,
better.
You do discuss that.
And you know, that's one of the things that I want to try to get across to men.
Yeah. So explain that a little bit. Why do you feel that size does not matter?
Well, first of all,
yeah, because some women will tell you it really does.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But then again, I think that, for example, I know that, you know, no matter what, you know, even if you were to tell me that, you know, it's 8 inches or more, there's nothing else to it. And mm-hmm. I would tell you that I have a 6-inch penis, mm-hmm. but give me a shot.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm going to make it work for her because
right.
I'm going to show her that it's not going to be necessarily only my penis.
Right.
You know, there's
it pleases her.
That's going to be able to rock her world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that I'm going to be able to do it with my fingers, or I'm going to be able to do it with my mouth, mm-hmm. or with my mouth and my fingers
exactly.
and my penis, you know, in concert, in a symphony.
Right.
Who knows what
right.
I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But,
right.
But yeah, like I say in the book, you know, one of the women, only one of the women that wrote into me when I asked, one of the sections in the book, I asked women to tell me how they like to be kissed.
Mm-hmm.
How they like to be fucked, how they like to be eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And only one of the women mentioned anything about penis size. And and I know that there's women out there that care about penis size, but I know that that woman, once that woman, she said 6 inches or more.
Right.
And I said, once she meets a man with a 5-inch penis that's read my book, she's going to change her mind.
I see. Yeah.
It's true.
It's true.
Some of the best sex I've had has been with smaller guys.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're talking solely on a physical level and there's like no passion and no nothing and you're just insertion, of course, like bigger is going to fill up more and do something, but doesn't matter.
But for you, but let me ask you something. Have you ever had a guy that was too big for you?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And it hurts.
Yeah. And then there's also, you know, there's also shape. There's curvature that does different things as well. I'd much prefer that over like big. You know, there's all different factors.
Right. I mean, there's guys that are huge, but they're curved to the, you know, it's a dog leg to the left.
And that might be a bad spot
for one particular woman or many particular women. Yeah. Another particular woman, it might be the perfect, absolutely perfect spot. So,
you know,
the thing is that women shouldn't be closed-minded. Just like men shouldn't be closed-minded to the fact that, you know, only big tits.
Right,
because you never know.
Yeah.
You just never know what you're going to run into. You shouldn't judge a man by the size of his penis, just like...
Right. But bigger looks better sometimes, right? I mean, do you like...
Well, in porn, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, do you search out the bigger ones?
No, I just search out that period.
But what's your preference? Somebody who makes you feel like he not only does he know what he's doing, but he knows exactly what you need, or he's going to do whatever it is to find out what it is you need, or a guy with a big cock.
That means nothing.
Right.
Yeah. No. I mean.
Now, of course, if you have a big cock and a girl who loves a big cock and the guy happens to know what he's doing, well, then it's a marriage made in heaven.
Right, exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah.
Just, I mean, honestly, like, again, it's not really about the size. I told you, I like the hand around it.
Right.
It's like seeing the image of that. Put your hand around it, I'm good to go.
Yeah, whatever turns you on.
And for other women, that would make them sick.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, of course. Other women would be totally put off by that and appalled by it. And that's why, you know, you don't know. That's why communication is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, being the best sex I've ever had is a guy that is there with me and makes me feel pretty and makes me feel comfortable and is all about pleasing me. And it doesn't know, like, then I love your dick. Like, I don't care what
size. And then you
want to
reciprocate, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right, of course. And that's, again, another key. I mean, guys just don't realize.
You can't just, like, drop trow and you have a big cock and you're like, here I am, and then suddenly turned on by it. No, it's everything else that you do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I imagine you've experienced threesomes and orgies and things like that.
All of it.
That's another way
the number gets to be 600, by the way.
Yeah.
I have a question about
sorry. You know, you can have multiples, you know, swinging. I've probably had as many as 4 or 5 women in one night.
Really? Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Is your number mostly in porn related? I mean, like doing adult movies?
It's mostly outside of porn.
Oh,
about 85%.
See, I thought it was all, like, I was like, well, of course, you're doing a lot of women here. No,
about 85% is off camera.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That's cool.
Because I was never really comfortable on camera. I only shot for myself. I didn't make that many movies. I just couldn't do it that much.
Yeah.
Right.
And most of the women I had sex with in my movies were actually I was in relationships with.
Gotcha.
Oh, I see. Okay. Interesting. So, at what point did you decide, okay, you're not, I mean, you don't act anymore, right? You're not in
your
movies anymore, right?
No, I've stopped performing.
Right. But you still have a company where
You produce movies. Right.
Website, probably.
Yep, SeymourButts.com.
SeymourButts.com. And what do you have on that website?
Everything you could pretty much imagine.
Yeah.
As far as my movies, all original content.
Right. Now, are your movies... I know when you started, it was kind of amateur look to it, no?
It's always remained pretty much the same, which is I call them, you know, reality-based movies.
Right.
They're gonzo. There's no scripting. There's no real beginning, middle, or end to them. It's all about...
just the action. Just the...
It's basically people are able to live my life vicariously through me.
Right.
You know, and the movies are all seen through my eye, as a matter of fact.
Right.
And somewhat narrated by me, in a sense.
Yeah, so it's cool. So a lot of your fantasies are probably in your movies as well.
I had the ability, but again, you know, I never went, you know, I could have dived in. I mean, I could have had so much sex in my movies. It's crazy. But I, you know, it's not like real sex.
Right.
it's not like what you think. I mean, you know, it's work. It's hard work.
It's too mechanical.
Satisfying one woman is hard enough. Satisfying two or three women at a time is even more difficult. Not necessarily that, you know, that's the main objective when you're making a movie, but when I do things, that's my objective.
Right.
So,
right. I was going to ask that. I was
it would kill me.
Yeah, but I think you can
tell
that.
Want to do good.
Yeah,
I think you can tell that on film because I always said that I should be a porn critic. I always recommend certain porns to people. Like, and you could so tell when people are like genuinely enjoying it or when it's just a job. I think, or else they're just really good actors. But whatever the case is, like I can totally tell, and I have to turn it off immediately if I feel like they're just there like doing the motions or when they're really into it. You know?
I mean, I could show you hundreds of clips of girls with 10-inch penises in their rectums. With absolutely no emotion whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, for 20 minutes, just enduring. And a lot of porn is about what girls can endure, which I don't really understand whatsoever.
Yeah, that's true. So have you noticed porn change in the past 20 years?
Yeah. It's become a, you know, a can you top this type of circus act.
I see.
Circus act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not really about the sex even anymore. I mean, when you start getting into, like, bestiality and you know, all these things with pain and...
But those are some people's fetishes.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about it, which is that I can't really knock it because obviously somebody's buying it.
Right.
You know, there's a market for it.
Right.
It's just that, you know, from my perspective, my formula has really never changed, which is it's my thing is about consensual sex, you know, attractive people having sex with people they want to have sex with. And having the type of sex they want to have,
Right. But you made it a point not to really work with pros, right? Like women and stuff. I mean, were there a lot of like first timers or?
So, you know, there's a mix. There's a healthy mix in my movies. I love first timers, especially women, not men.
Right.
but even so, it's you know, first timers. There's a whole different thing about it. You know.
Right.
You got to make sure that they're actually ready to do what they're ready to do. I've scared off more first-timers than I've actually shot.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, I want them to understand what they're getting into. It's not just like walking down to the park and, you know, buying an ice cream.
Yeah.
And then,
they have to live with that for the rest of their lives, you know, it's, being out there. Yeah.
And sometimes they don't realize it. They're 18 years old and, you know, they see the lure of money and they've... maybe been having sex for a few years and feeling not so great about guys.
Yeah.
And not a lot of options as far as work, etc. And so, you know, it looks like a good move, but for some it's not.
Yeah.
It depends.
Do a lot of these people meet each other for the first time on set?
Absolutely.
Okay, because that was what I was blown away by when I watched the Oprah thing.
They shook hands.
They literally gave each other a kiss on the cheek, and then they started having sex. I was like,
they
whoa.
Never met each other.
That was crazy to me.
Yeah. I know, and you know, I mean, it sounds like so mechanical, you know, when you have to pose for the camera, certain angles, you know, which are like not natural, and things like that, you know. So
it is. It's work.
Yeah.
It's very much work. You know, we have to take still photos of everything, so... You know, they generally have to go through the scene twice.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, one time for the still camera, one time for the video camera.
Wow.
That's why amateur porn's fun.
Yeah.
It just seems like just normal, natural.
Yeah, but you know, with amateur porn, of course, you'll give up some things. You know, you'll give up lighting.
Right.
You'll give up angles. You'll give up, you know, good camera work, etc.
True.
Clear shots.
But the turn on is that it's like real people, you know, and often they seem like really into it, you know, whereas with today's porn I really can't relate to it that much because it all seems to be the same, you know, all the girls look the same, they do the same things, you know. It's like, how does a girl really stand out today?
Yeah, no, it's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough. I don't know if there are going to be any more Jenna Jamesons.
Yeah.
I had another question that I've been waiting to ask. So, after sleeping with all these women, does every woman feel different? Or are they all just the same after a while?
Well,
I mean,
from a physical perspective around my penis, I think I notice more difference with oral.
Okay.
Than I do with vaginal or anal type stuff. I mean,
I don't know why I've always wanted to know that. I'm like, do we really?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I can remember there's certain girls that for some reason, you know, their tongues feel like velvet, and other girls just, it's not the same. Not to say it's bad.
Yeah.
No, but it's just different. Yeah. You know, it's not as noticeable.
Right.
But certain body parts fit together better, like with certain girls. I mean, like at least I know when I'm having sex with a guy, like just certain pieces are, they're like puzzle pieces kind of, and they just feel like they're meant for you.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's some girls whose vaginas are lower than others, mm-hmm. or in different position. You know, I mean, from that sense, yeah, everything's different. But for me,
you're just happy to be in one.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I'm happy to be in a tush, and it's about the fact that the tush is happy that I'm in it.
Yeah.
Really, is even more important.
If it's like an enter only. Yeah,
true.
I like that.
Well, you know, I was reading something very interesting the other day, is that women really have, they're the only ones, as opposed to men, that have an organ that's specifically for pleasure, you know, which is the clit.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. You know, men don't have that.
Your
and
penis
women,
is.
No, but it's not only for sex. It's not only for pleasure. That's the point. You know, but the clitoris.
There's no other function. I mean, the closest thing would be, you know, the prostate, but even the prostate serves other functions.
Right. And you talk about the prostate a little bit in your book,
right?
Oh,
yeah. I dedicate a whole chapter to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, tell us a little bit about. We were asking about the P-spot, right? And that's probably the prostate
you're talking about.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
Because we asked the other day, we didn't know what it stood for.
Yeah, I was like, I wonder what the
P-spot
is.
Well,
yeah.
What I do is in the book, I lay out some what I call sexercises that men can do. Mm-hmm. They're basically the male equivalent of Kegel exercises for women. So we call them Magels.
Sounds like bagel.
And similar and interesting, yes. It's kind of, if you think about what a bagel looks like and what you're actually doing, it actually is kind of appropriate. But what you would do is that you you isolate the muscles that you use to stop the flow of urine if you were startled. In other words, if you were urinating and somebody came up behind you and started talking to you and you were startled by it, you'd stop that flow.
Mm-hmm.
That muscle that you use to stop it would be the muscle that you'd be trying to isolate.
Oh,
so it's the
okay.
same as women. Stopping the urine, yeah. Okay.
Same as women.
Exercise. Okay.
Right, exactly. And then, of course, there's also what's called rectal massage, which is another way of stimulating and invigorating the prostate. And when the prostate is healthy, a man has the ability to achieve erections easier, achieve firmer erections, and to have more intense orgasms, ultimately.
Really? Wow.
So women should be massaging the man's prostate.
Absolutely. Right. You know, one of the things in my book is ass play gay.
Right.
That's where I actually tell the poo-poo love story.
Right.
Because she thought I was gay because I asked for anal sex. That's what her immediate assumption was.
Yeah.
But, I tell men that, they should be, they should be at least open to giving it a try, especially if their female is open to giving it a try with them.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. I've heard most men are like, or a lot of men that I've talked to, they're like, oh, no, I would never. And the moment they have it, they're like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, if you've never had an orgasm where a woman who's actually knows how to massage your prostate, and so if you've actually had a woman massaging your prostate while you've had an orgasm, you'd know that there's almost no more intense feeling that you could feel.
Is there a book on this?
Well, my book actually lays out how to do it for a man. I just recommend it wholeheartedly in the sense that, it's just when it comes to sexuality, I just don't believe you should close yourself off to anything.
Right, right.
There's a reason why the man's center of his sexual universe is put inside of his ass.
Mm. Yeah. That's true.
Fair enough.
But, I'm thinking it requires a certain amount of being submission. You know, I mean, as a man, if you're going to be penetrated, it's like submission to me,
And yeah, I think a lot of men stay away from it because I don't think it's the submission as much as it's the association with gayness.
Right, right.
You know, there's guys in the industry, in the porn industry, who fuck girls all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And if I say to them, hey, how about getting a rim job from this girl?
Right.
They're like, no way, man.
Yeah.
No way. I'm not gay.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, nothing goes by my ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm too macho for that. And I don't necessarily think anybody's too macho. You know, give it a try. See if you hate it. Okay, fine. But at least, give it a shot. Not only that, but the most exciting news is that doctors in Israel discovered that rectal massage can be used to cure chronic hiccups.
Really?
Very excited,
that's a good
right?
thing. Yeah.
Next time someone's hiccuping, you're like, bend over. Bend over, bitch. I can cure those for you.
Yep. That's pretty cool. Not surprisingly, it was
Israel.
Discovered in Israel.
I knew Great. I wonder if I should bring that up to my Israeli manager later. He might look at me and be like, this is not proper conversation.
So with a few minutes we have left, so you finally settled down, right? You're married now?
I'm not married. I have a fiancé.
Oh, really? Congratulations.
Thank you.
How long have you been together?
Almost 7 years now.
Oh, 7 years.
Wow.
You've been engaged all that time?
No. But we've been together 7 years, probably engaged almost five.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, we actually, our relationship was kind of documented on the TV show. I don't know if you're familiar with the TV show, but
I never watched it, but I heard of it, though.
We met on the television show, and
what television show was that?
It was called Family Business. It ran on Showtime for 4 seasons.
Oh yeah, that's right. I saw it in the book. Okay, so that was like kind of a reality show.
Correct.
Yeah, and when did that happen?
The show?
Yeah.
The show ran from 2002 to 2005.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, and it centered around you.
My family, my business, you know, the fact that there's some, my mom was my bookkeeper and my cousin also worked for me.
Really?
And I'm a single daddy.
Yeah.
And the whole bit.
I see. Wow. Where can we find? I mean, do they still have it?
Yeah, it's actually still available on DVD. Seasons 1 and 2 are available on DVD. Seasons 3 and 4 have not been made on DVD
yet. I'd love to watch it. I love reality shows anyway.
It's available. Well, you know, people loved it, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got great ratings at Showtime, and people still write me today saying, love that show. What happened to it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, it kind of makes it more like the lifestyle, even just normal to people that would think that it's probably, you know, not kind of just like what that you go through every day living. You know,
that was
what I mean?
The biggest that was the biggest response that we got about the show, which was, wow, who, you know, I didn't know normal people were involved in that business.
Right.
I thought they were all perverts and drug addicts.
Right. That's what the name Seymour Butts, when I heard it for the first time, I pictured this pervert, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Old fat guy. Yeah, I know. That's what most people say.
Yeah.
But it is normal.
Well, it's kind of nice, actually, that I'm able to... people are generally at least a little bit, you know, happily...
Pleasantly
surprised, right, when I show up.
Because you don't have, like, what's-his-face walking in the door. Ron Jeremy.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, my fiancé was at the American Music Awards, you know, and so... she was telling me about all the people that she ran into, and she says, and who do I run into? Ron Jeremy.
Yeah. He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
I always see him. I always see him, too.
I never will eat dinner with him because, you know, he always picks at your plate.
Does he?
Oh, really?
I hate that.
That's disgusting.
Bugs the shit out of me.
Okay, I don't want to talk badly about him, but I don't know why anyone still don't understand his influence in the industry.
Well, he's been there from the beginning.
No, I know.
Absolutely.
I
remember he's an icon. He's an ambassador in a sense. Yeah. And he gets himself out there.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about somebody who works at his celebrity.
Right.
You know,
right.
Ron's pretty much milked, you know, what? He's milked a 10-inch penis more than anybody in history.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's...
Yeah.
Okay.
You see, it's
literally.
The penis. It's also the fact that he was, like, already a big star in the 70s, you
know?
So he's seen it from the beginning. He's seen it evolve and everything, you know? I read his book not too long ago.
But more so, everybody's seen him.
Right, exactly.
If you've seen... I mean,
right, it's a name. I mean, like, no one's probably... I mean, a lot of people, I guarantee you haven't even seen his movies.
Yeah.
You just know. Like, I've never seen one of Ron Jeremy's movies ever.
What?
I haven't. And I've watched porn forever. Yeah. But... I just look at him. I have
no
attraction.
I know, but it's interesting how you could have avoided it for so long.
But it's not about the attraction, you see.
Well,
and that's what he was talking... No, that's true, but that's what he was saying about porn and stuff, you know. It's about how it looks, you know. It's about, you know, he's got a big penis, and he's also funny,
but that just shows you that the big penis means nothing. He's got, you know, a 10-inch penis, and I have no desire to watch it because it's not about the penis.
But look, he's different, you know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's the whole point is women wonder, you know.
But it's not just about... But it's more about the guy. You have to remember that you know, whether it's one out of three women or two out of three women, however many women are watching, there's still a lot more guys watching porn.
Right.
And guys are the biggest consumers of porn.
Mm-hmm.
And guys like to see a regular looking guy.
Right.
Yeah. True.
Right.
That's like them. That's a little
getting
bit beat up.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit overweight, a little bit pot belly.
Mm-hmm.
Not the perfect gorgeous George out there getting laid.
Yeah,
you're right.
That's true.
You're right.
And that's the attraction there.
Yeah. And he's funny, you know, and he's got a track record.
Yeah. I'm not trying to put him down. I'm just saying on a personal level, we all have like our things, and he doesn't, you know, do it for
me. Well, I've had girls who actually made him shave his entire body before they would work with him.
Really?
He had to shower and shave his entire body, yes. Wow. And he did it.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
women get, this is like the one industry that I understand or anything in life where women get paid more than men do. Is that true? Generally,
that's true.
I mean,
because
men get paid for everything more in life than women do for the same job, and this is like the one thing where women get paid more.
Yeah.
Although gay porn stars make some good money.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, they're taking the ass all the time, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
So
you get paid obviously more for anal, like the different things you do on the film, you get paid more and more.
Correct.
That's interesting, though. I didn't realize that. So, but I also heard that some male performers that are transsexual also have to start with gay in order to sort of like get into the industry. Is that correct? Not necessarily.
You know,
huh?
They're so separate industries. The gay industry, they really don't mix much.
Mm.
And so, I don't really have a lot of knowledge about that part of the industry, to be absolutely honest with you.
Okay.
Right. I think in my other life, I'm a director of porn.
Really? Well, yeah. You've got to do that.
Well,
yeah.
Well, you have a good attitude about it. I mean, you know, obviously you could, you know, to be honest with you, anybody who is okay with it and had any kind of eye can be a director.
My friend sent me, because
I didn't certainly have any technical training.
Well, I didn't realize that my friend sent me video somewhat recently of, you know, self, and I texted him back and told him the things that I want him to do and the different things, and then I realized, he's like, are you directing me now? And I was like, oh my God, I think I am. I was like, this is what I need you to do. This is how... So terrible.
Yeah, she needs to be in charge.
Well, I told you what my dad said to me. He was like, whatever you do, do not cross over into the porn industry because I'm a mainstream actress. And I was like, don't worry, but it was just funny that my dad would even think that I would do that, but there's that little thing, like, but I won't.
Yeah.
I won't.
Well, but he knows you have an openness, that's why.
Well, yeah, well, right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so the book is Rock Her World, The Sex Guide for the Modern Man, and that's Adam Glasser, of course, Seymour Butts. When the book just came out the other day, right?
Yeah, it's actually in stores everywhere now. It was released on November 12th, and some of the reviews we've gotten so far have really been thrilling, like... the best sex book ever written.
Really?
Or
good for you.
The new Bible for men.
Yeah.
It's really good. I can read this in one sitting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and it's a fun read also. You know, I mean, you use humor in there, and it's fun. It's always fun to read about sex. You
Screw
know?
Dan
and,
Brown. I'm reading this.
Yeah. Well, I tried to throw some, you know, I tried to weave in some of my own personal anecdotes that relate to specific topics, you know. For example, when I talk about the prostate, I talk about the time that I discovered, or I was actually introduced to my prostate.
I see.
By somebody, you know. Yeah. When I talk about having sex on the beach as a way to spice up things, I relayed a story that where I had sex on a beach that actually didn't go so well.
Yeah, that's cool.
Kind of a warning. So yeah. It's mostly instruction, but also some memoir as well.
Awesome.
Adam, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Really cool guy. And everybody go out and get the book, of course. And Sherry, I know you're going to finish it today.
Yes, I am.
So, and you'll learn a thing or two as well.
I'm just going to the prostate section.
Well, you'll tell me about what you thought about this, the poo-poo love story you got to read. And then, of course, there's the story of my face-to-face encounter with a man-eating hemorrhoid.
Oh my God.
Or the time my matzo balls were almost devoured by a ravenous chihuahua.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds good.
I'm going to Starbucks.
All right. Sherry, thank you so much.
Thank you.
As usual. And we'll be back here tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Sam and Sherry in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question or comment for the show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Sherry in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. We'll be right back.